Well, it's good to see you today. I pray that you feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place as we sing songs to bring Him glory, as we are reminded of His blessings this past week, as you have walked with Him, as you've walked in His Spirit, as you've walked in His Word, then this is not foreign to you at all. It's easy for you to come and to worship. You don't have to be jump-started. It's something that you're doing each and every day, so it's good to see you. I do want to have a personal word to you. I just want to thank you on behalf of my family, especially myself, for the many expressions of your love and support during my dad's death this past week. So we've felt your love. We felt the grace of God. We felt the Spirit of God. Our attention mainly turns toward my mom at 88 plus years, and appreciate your continued prayers for that. We love you, and we thank you for loving us as well. I do also want to mention that this is an important time for the life of our church. You've heard us begin to emphasize heavily the immeasurably more facility and generosity emphasis. We are at an informational stage, meaning that yesterday or probably Monday, you'll see a letter in the mail with just some general broad strokes of information that should be very encouraging to us. And we'll be available to you to explain things, answer any questions. Please don't assume. There's folks that can help you to answer your questions, to hear any concerns that you may have. And then I hope you'll save the date, March 15th. It's going to be a big day here in the life of our church. We'll gather together. We'll answer questions. We'll make plans for moving ahead prayerfully, God willing, and working in the hearts of you and I as a church family. Prayerfully, we'll get to begin seeing some dirt turned this summer. How about that? Amen? All right, we got a little bit of a clap there. I hope y'all are more excited than that. I know you are, but there's a buzz going around, and so we've still got to see a miracle God has been doing in our midst already, and we continue to believe that that's going to happen. All right, we begin a new sermon series today called The Seven Signs of Jesus. And you say, well, why is it called that? And basically from a long time ago, like 1800s, it was identified that in the book of John, or the Gospel of John, chapters 2 through 12, he began to emphasize that Jesus, through these seven particular signs, showed that he was the Son of God. They actually saw, they actually held or beheld it with their own hands. And so we're going to try to use this as a Easter series. So it will run right up to Easter. You'll be glad to know that Brother Kevin and Brother John will be bringing a message during that time as well. But that's kind of the significance of it. Today we'll be in John chapter 2, turning the water into the wine. So I want you to be aware of that. Now, you come here today, and a lot of our service has been geared to He will never fail us. There's a lot of events, a lot of things that happen in life that kind of want to jolt our faith. They want to kind of create some doubt in our life. We might question about belief and faith as far as where's God at? When is He going to arrive? How is He working? I want to see His hand. I need to have trust. Well, be comforted. It's the same for each of us. Each of us face those kind of troubles, those kind of challenges in life. And you're here today, and some of you, I know, are going through that. You've shared that with me. You've shared it with the church family. You've asked for prayer. And we are just declaring, as we've just sung, God is faithful. And by that, we want to just say that sometimes it's difficult, it's a challenge to find our belief, to find our faith. And it's not a new problem. It's an age-old problem. It's very difficult many times just simply to understand the terms. We know what belief means and faith means in many areas of our culture. And it has to do a lot with assembling knowledge and information. And we believe in that historical fact. And so we understand what believe means. But the Bible seems to have a different nuance, sometimes a different meaning for what it means to really believe. And frankly, it can be kind of confusing, and there can be a lot of misunderstanding about what it means. You may have been raised in a tradition Or certainly in a southern type hospitality where folks might say, brother, all you got to do is believe. You got to take that by faith, sister. And that's good and well because most of us have been taught, well, we should believe what our parents tell us. Can I have an amen for those that are parents? I was taught to believe our pastor. I don't know what to say about that. Taught to believe our teachers. You know, I was just thinking a little bit because we have a preschool, you know, of 105 children here, and I was caroming through the pre-K plus, which is the group that's getting ready to go to kindergarten, and they've chosen to stay a little extra long in the day. And so I was going through, and so I made me think that we were taught by our teachers, and for me it was third grade. I remember the teacher. And for example, 8 times 8 is 62. Oh, that wasn't quite right, was it? 64. Well, I took that as a belief. She told me that, and we learned all the tables, you know. But literally, I didn't go 8 across and 8 down and then count them to see it equals 64. I just believed it was true. Now, you say, well, that is corny, and that is weak. But I'm so proud of our pre-K plus teachers. They actually put those dots on there and show those kids in the numbering systems of how that kind of works out. You say, well, they're teaching times already. I'm going to send my kid to your old school. Well, I don't really think they were doing it in that, but I was kind of amazed as they showed that chart on that whiteboard. I was going, wow, we're teaching that? But my point is that many times we just believe things because that's what we do. And sometimes we know that we believe by information that we see or that we hear. And that's the evidence. We see it. And that's good enough because we see it and therefore we believe. We have faith. And then at times we believe because what? Somebody tells us that we can trust in, right? I trust them with my life. I trust them with everything that they've ever said, and therefore they can be depended on. I have confidence in the person that's delivering the message to me. Now, there's a problem, isn't there, when there's conflicting information? Oh, now what am I going to do? Now what am I going to believe? And really, just to come to terms with it, that there's folks in the realm of biblical question. Is that really a true story or is that a myth from the Old Testament? And you say, are we going to sit there today? No. But just an example of sometimes things that really kind of mess with us. It's a conflicting kind of information about what are we going to do about that? How are we going to believe? I'm not so sure what to believe. And then there's social issues. You know, how am I going to believe? One of the biggest issues in our day and time is identity issues. I mean, where do you go with that? How am I going to believe with that? How are we to react to that? God, what are you telling us about identity issues that have increased 1,500% in Denmark in the last 5 years? You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? It's just a fact about our day and time and struggling with who we are and in our identities. It's confusing, it's conflicting. And then we get into confirmation bias that we listen to what we believe, you know. I'm only going to listen to that station because that's what I believe. I'm only going to listen to those folks. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Aren't you supposed to listen to somebody that's given correct doctrine, correct belief? Yeah, but you got to grow beyond that to listen to what? The other side as well, don't you? Whatever that is. But